Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
There is a God, amen? Amen. Therefore, one of the most important questions everyone must settle in their own heart is, am I right with God? Am I right with God? Our passage is full of the word righteousness. I've underlined it, the word righteousness. Have a look in your Bible. Our passage is full of the word righteousness. We were introduced to this word last week at the end of chapter 9. The end of chapter 9 is full of the word righteousness. And as I mentioned last week, when we read that word righteousness in this part of Romans, we are meant to picture ourselves standing before God and God asking us the question, why should I let you into my kingdom? And last week we learned the wrong answer. The wrong answer before God is, God, you should let me into your kingdom because I have kept your law. That would be like saying, God, you should let me into your kingdom because of my righteousness. Now, last week we also heard the right answer. The right answer is, God, you should let me into your kingdom because I have believed in Jesus Christ. That's like saying, you should let me into your kingdom because of his righteousness, because of Jesus' righteousness. That was last week. Our passage today reminds us that Christians, as Christians, we have the most important message in the whole wide world in our hands. Brother, sister, on Vision Sunday, God is reminding us that the good news that we hold in our hands will save everyone who calls on Jesus. The good news we hold in our hands will save everyone who calls on Jesus. And because this is Vision Sunday, I don't have as long for this sermon, so just two headings. All right, and the first heading is doing versus faith, and the second heading is beautiful feet. And also because this is Vision Sunday, instead of just picturing yourself, instead of me just picturing myself before God, let's picture our friends, our family, our workmates, our schoolmates, our neighbours, the 90,000 in the Hastings, the 27 million in Australia, the 8 billion around the world, standing before God, and God asking the question, why should I let you into my kingdom? And as we do all of that, to our first heading, doing versus faith. Now, have your Bible open to Romans 10, because we're going to work through verses 5 to 10 right now. And verses 6 to 8 are rather tricky. And so as we read them, I'm going to pause and just give some commentary and use a slide to help us quickly understand what God is saying in these verses. But Romans 10, verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. And so the emphasis in verse 5 is on the word does. The person who wants to come before God and claim their own righteousness must do the law, must do all of the law. The emphasis on verse 5 is on doing. And then verse 6 immediately contrasts doing with faith. But the righteousness based on faith says. And then here's where it gets a bit tricky. And it gets a bit tricky in verse 6 to 8. Because Paul's actually quoting Deuteronomy, and he's quoting two different parts from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4, and Deuteronomy verses 30, 11 to 14. And so on the screen, I've only got the Deuteronomy 30 reference, and the the Romans 10 on this other side. The thing to know about Deuteronomy is this is when Moses sat Israel down just before they go into the promised land. So they've done the wandering around the desert for 40 years. They're just about to enter the promised land. And Moses is telling them, as you go in, remember, this is how you're to live. And the Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4 verse is actually, do not say in your heart. And in Deuteronomy 9, Moses is telling Israel, God's not letting you into the promised land because you're righteous. Your doing of the law hasn't got you here. And then in chapter 30, Paul in Romans is quoting a bunch of Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm just going to read Romans chapter 5 verses 6 to 8 now. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Israel, don't say, how are we supposed to live in the kingdom? God has already given you the commands. Christian, don't wonder about how you are now meant to live. Christ has come. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. There is no excuse. Whether we were in the Old Testament, being led into the promised land, God is saying, as you live in the promised land, don't wonder how you're meant to live. Don't think you've got to go searching far and wide and deep to wonder how you're going to live. I've given you my commandments. In the New Testament, isn't it interesting? Paul doesn't use the word command. He pushes aside commandments of God and puts in Christ. Brother, sister, as Christians, we're without excuse about how to live within this world. The word of God is, it's in our hearts, it's in our mouth. Christ has now come. That's what's going on in these verses. And then, verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. Little throwaway for those of you who were here last year in our Roman series. Remember how sometimes with justified, if it was legal in English, we could put righteousified? This whole idea of being right with God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Why should God let you into his kingdom? Because you trust in Jesus as your Savior. Simple. And as wonderful as verses 9 and 10 are, I don't believe we've hit the jackpot of these verses yet. God wants us to see something to expand our vision. Verse 11. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. There's no distinction amongst anyone on the planet. Whatever nationality you want to talk about, whatever skin color you want to talk about, whatever class distinctions we might come up with, there's no distinction before God. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How awesome! Everyone. Brothers and sisters, God has entrusted us with a powerful message. Everyone who calls on Jesus Christ will be saved. It's a liberating message too, isn't it? We get to tell our friends, we get to tell our family, stop doing, Stop striving. Stop fretting. Just throw yourself on Jesus. And you will be right with God. You'll be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Salvation comes by faith, not doing. That's our first heading. So let's turn our attention to beautiful feet. Read from verse 14 with me. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Do you remember how Romans 10 opens up? Verse 1 is Paul praying to God for the salvation of his kinsmen, for the salvation of the Jews. That's how this chapter opens. Chapter 10, verse 1, Paul's. The goal, Paul wants to see Jews saved. And then the verses we just read then sort of work backwards from that. How are they going to be saved? Well, they call on Jesus. And why do they call on Jesus? Because they have believed in Jesus. Now, how can they believe in Jesus unless they've heard of Jesus? And how are they going to be able to hear of Jesus unless somebody preaches Jesus? And how is anyone going to go and preach Jesus unless they are sent? Yeah? Just makes sense, doesn't it? Two of the arguments brought against the doctrine of unconditional election that we've been looking at over the last 3 weeks now is that if God sovereignly chooses his children and his plans come about, we don't need to pray for people to be saved and we don't need to evangelize. Isn't it interesting that the two chapters that most clearly in the Bible teach unconditional election call us to pray for those not yet saved? Romans 10, verse 1. And then the verses we just read, verses 14 to 15, tell us go and preach the gospel. There is great comfort and there is great fire in the belly from Romans chapters 9 to 10. I have loved these last 3 weeks in this part of the Bible with you. The comfort is God does elect his children and he will save them. We can put our head on the pillow at night and sleep well. And there's great fire in the belly. You see, God doesn't tell us who the elect are. We don't know who the chosen are. But he has told us, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. The most difficult person, the most selfish person, the biggest rat bag on your street might be God's elect. Do you remember the Apostle Paul before God saved him? He hated Jesus. He was arresting Christians to either put them in jail or to see them executed. Brother, sister, not only do we know that there is a God, we know that there is the God. He is the only God. He is the maker of heaven and earth. Our God is from everlasting to everlasting. Our God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our God declares that everyone, Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the fire in our belly for mission. And Jesus gives us the mission. It's so clear in Matthew 28. Go, make disciples. Do you hear our King? He did not say, go and live comfortable lives. He says, go and make disciples. At Christmas, we've been singing this song in the last few years, Who Would Have Dreamed? And the chorus of that song, it is so rich. Who would have dreamed or ever foreseen that we could hold God in our hands? That is quite extraordinary, isn't it? Jesus, the Son of God. In Colossians, we're told that Jesus was there flinging stars into space. Jesus is the creator of the universe. And he was born of the Virgin Mary. Joseph and Mary held Jesus in their hands. Now, you and I don't get to hold Jesus in our hands. But we do get to hold his good news in our hands. Who would have dreamed or ever foreseen that we could hold the gospel in our hands? Now, what's this gospel? What's this good news? Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. As we think about those not yet saved. Now, maybe that's you here this morning. As we think about our friends, as we think about our family, our schoolmates, our workmates, our neighbour. As we think about the Hastings, New South Wales, Australia, the world. And we cast our eyes to that day when everyone stands before God's judgment. As we think about that, hold that future vision combined with Jesus' mission that everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. How does that affect our today? It's crystal clear, isn't it? We are sent. We're the ones that are sent. Here I'll go back. Is it slide 6, Stu? Yeah, keep going. Go again. Where's the little arrows that I had? That's the one I'm after, Stu. There, this one. And I'm on the wrong side of the stage. We're the ones that are sent. And we are being sent to preach Jesus so that the world can hear about Jesus, so that the world can believe on Jesus, so that they would call on Jesus. Because everyone who calls on Jesus, that was so quick, well done, saved. This is the gospel that we hold in our hands. And now, because I didn't set up the slides really well, you already know where I'm headed with this next. I was about to say, for those of you who've sat under my preaching at this point, know how I'm going to end the sermon. It's that quote from Spurgeon, yeah? How do we live today? And tomorrow and the next, as long as Jesus gives us breath. If sinners will be damned. at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, may they perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, pleading with them to stay. And if hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions. Brother, sister, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? I'm going to pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your gospel that comes from your lips. Make our hearts believe. Father, we give us that urgency, that the same gospel with which you saved us, you save others. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning who is yet to be saved, who is yet to call on Jesus. Would today be that day? And Father, I pray for us, your people. Send us, Holy Spirit, to preach the good news of Jesus. Give us beautiful feet, Father. We pray this for your glory, our joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.